May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Today is the last Sunday before Advent, and it is observed as the Feast of Christ the King. This year, because it is also the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I have not preached a Thanksgiving sermon while I've been at All Saints, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving, not Christ the King. But I need to give you a little bit of the background reason for my choice. It's Tuesday evening of this last week in the Hancock household. Cynthia is standing at the sink and I'm preparing supper. Cynthia, are you preaching on Sunday? Paul, yes. What are you preaching about? Well, it's the Feast of Christ the King. Cynthia, sounds boring. Thursday, how's the sermon? This is Cynthia. How's the sermon about Christ the King coming? Well, I've changed my mind. I'm going to preach about Thanksgiving. Good choice. So, rather than choose a verse of scripture for my text, I chose a part of the prayer which our prayer book calls a general thanksgiving. You all know it well. We say it together. And we said it this morning, every time we say morning and evening prayer. The general thanksgiving is a very special part of the spiritual heritage of Anglicanism. It draws its inspiration from a prayer which Queen Elizabeth I used in her private devotions. The form in which we know it was composed by Edward Reynolds. He was a 17th century Bishop of Norwich. Reynolds was a peacemaker in what were very tumultuous times. The Puritan wing of the Church of England had complained that the first English prayer books had not included enough prayers of thanksgiving. So when a new prayer book was authorized in 1662, and Puritan support for it was very much needed, Reynolds' general thanksgiving was added to the daily office. Theologically, it is a masterpiece. But I will return to that later. First, I am going to share a story, a true story. It was told by a New Yorker, Fulton Ursler. He and his wife converted to Catholicism after a trip to the Holy Land. He was the editor of Reader's Digest. And he is best known as the writer of the novel about the life of Christ, The Greatest Story Ever Told, which was made into a movie in 1965. Ursula's story illustrates the truth that it is not enough just to say thank you. You should feel thank you also. People who feel their gratitude are blessed with a special happiness in their lives. Ursula's story was of an old woman who took care of him when he was a child. Her name was Anna. She was a former slave, and she had worked for his family after emancipation. He remembered sitting at the kitchen table with her when he was young, her hands folded and her eyes gazing upward as she prayed, "Much obliged, Lord, for my victuals." He asked her what victuals were and learned that they were food and drink. He told her that she would get food and drink whether or not she gave thanks. Anna replied, "Yes, we'll get our victuals, but em tastes better when we're thankful." She told him that an old preacher had taught her as a little girl to look always for things to be grateful for. So as soon as she awoke each morning, she asked herself, "What is the first thing that I can be grateful for today?" Sometimes the smell of the early morning coffee and bacon on the stove in the kitchen wafted its way to her room, and then she would say, "Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee and the bacon, and much obliged too for the smell of it." Ursula grew up and left home. Years later, he received a message that Anna was dying. He rushed back to see her and found her in bed, lying on her back, with her hands folded over her white sheets, just as he had seen them folded in prayer over her white apron at the kitchen table so many times before. Her eyes were closed. He knew she was praying, and he suspected it would be a prayer of gratitude. But he wondered to himself what she could possibly be giving thanks for at a time like this. As if reading his mind, she opened her eyes and gazed at the loving faces all around her bed. Then, shutting her eyes again, she quietly murmured, "Much obliged, Lord, for such fine friends." Ursula said he had been deeply influenced by Anna's uncanny ability to always find some reason to be much obliged. And he credited her with having taught him how to be happy in his life. It's the same lesson that is taught by the old Jewish saying about who is a rich man. The rabbis taught that the truly rich man is the man who is happy with what he has. The lesson that is often set for the eve of Thanksgiving is Luke's story of the 10 lepers. All are healed, but only one returns to give thanks. That story is misunderstood if it is taken as a negative scolding of those who do not return to give thanks. It is rather a positive affirmation of the one who does return to give thanks. Once he realizes that he has been healed, he can't help but turn back and share his joy and his thanksgiving with Jesus. And when he does, he receives a second gift. As he leaves his encounter with Jesus, he is not just healed, he's blessed. He's blessed because he is drawn into a deeper relationship with the one he thanks, and blessed at hearing himself commended for having great faith. Being grateful doubles the blessing of the gift. Anna knew that when she said, "Yes, we'll get our victuals, but it makes them taste better when we're thankful." Let me go back to that part of the general thanksgiving that I read at the beginning, and you'll remember that I said it was a theological masterpiece. "We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for thine inestimable love, in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory." Thanksgiving Day is about giving thanks to God for all that we have. The fact is, however, that when we give thanks to God for all that we have, we are often most thankful for all those things that, as Jesus put it, are passing away. We might be thankful for our new car, for our home, for our food, for our clothing, for our job, for money to pay our bills and do the things we enjoy doing, for our political freedoms, for our families, for our life, for our health. Those are all important things, and we should give thanks for them. They are the things that the general thanksgiving is referring to when it says, "We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life." But they are all perishable. They are all things temporal. They are not things eternal. The theological genius of the general thanksgiving is that it allows us to give genuine and hearty thanks for all the perishables of our life. But having done that, it quickly refocuses our attention on the far more important things that we should be grateful for, but which we often forget. That God's love is so great for this world that it knows no bounds. That God has given us means of grace in Scripture, in prayer, in the sacraments, in the assurance that when we serve our fellow man, Give food to the hungry, clothes to the stranger, water to the thirsty. We serve God. And that God has promised us an eternal life in his presence, which is the ground of our Christian hope. When we sat down for our Thanksgiving meal last year, we went round the table and each of us said what we were thankful for. We shared all the blessings of this life for which we blessed God. We'd never done that before. It was a truly lovely act of sharing. And Anna's lesson that blessings are sweeter when we give thanks for them was found to be very true. They were all things temporal, not things eternal. In our house, we are good Episcopalians and we don't wear our religion on our sleeves. I wouldn't expect anything very different from you. But privately, in our hearts, in your heart, when you say your prayers, make your private devotions on Thanksgiving Day, reflect, please, on a truth that falls into the category of not that which is passing away. It might, for instance, be the hope of glory that lies in front of all of us. And give thanks for that thing that is not passing away. And it too will become sweeter yet. Amen.